Tonight we come to the last mission conference. I do appreciate your attendance. I know it's not an easy task. During this week, a lot is going on, a lot of the ceremonies and different things, so I do appreciate the attendance for that. As I mentioned, that you can gain a plenary indulgence by your attendance at the conferences, so I'll give you that blessing after this conference, before Compline starts. We have Compline and then a chance for confession. As I mentioned, I'm happy just to stay until the last person is able to be able to go to confession. So, you know, please do try to take advantage of the opportunity that you have. Tomorrow there will also be confessions at 6 p.m. before the Mass at 7. And then also, because of some of the hard work of some of the ones who've been working on the basement project, we're able to actually use that for the altar repose. We don't have to go over to the school, so which is, I think, a blessing for that. A little dusty down there, but they cleaned today, so we will be able to have the altar of repose down in the basement tomorrow. So this last conference, as I mentioned, that we've been using some of the thoughts of Don Marmion, and he's been trying to get us to understand the idea of suffering with Christ. That one we focused on the very first conference, just the passion, kind of being introduced to the subject, and then also talking about the passion of our Lord. And how through the passion of our Lord, that we see how much that Almighty God loved us by sending His only begotten Son, and also the proof of the love of the Sacred Heart, of how much that His heart, that He loves us by His willing to go through with His passion. Where we know that being God, He could have had one drop of blood and that would have been sufficient to repair for the damage that was done by Adam and Eve. But then following along with His Father's will, that He suffered so much for us. So from that, then we tried to look at how we can cooperate and share in that redemptive work, some of the dispositions that we can have from that. And then finally tonight, how suffering leads to life, to eternal life for us. Because we know in, obviously, Christianity, death is a prelude of life. St. Augustine had said, when one dies, one lives. To die is to gain. Because we can gain eternal life because of that. If we live a life that is pleasing to God, we die in the state of grace, that we will be able to live for all eternity. And so that is the understanding for us to try to grasp, to try to understand of the necessity of living a good life, a life that is pleasing to God. Our Lord Himself had said that the grain of wheat must first die in the ground before it can germinate and bring forth the fruit of the harvest, which the householder will gather into his barns. And that understanding for us of, obviously, the soul bringing forth the fruits that Almighty God then will gather into heaven. And so this life will become so much more fruitful for us because of the graces that we will gain. And a lot of times the graces that were gained through suffering, through the crosses and trials that we will have to undergo. Because we know that holiness is for us essentially of the supernatural order. So God is its source. And so the more our souls, by means of mortification, free themselves from sin and are detached from self and creatures, the more the divine action is powerful within us. So just meaning that we know that God is the source of all holiness for us. And in order for that source to take place in our soul, we have to free it from oneself, from creatures that will take us away from God. And so the idea of the mortifications that we take on, it's one of the things that we talked about this Lent. And the reason why we sacrifice, why we take on mortifications and penances, it is to be able to try to gain that grace from God, the grace into our soul. So God makes use of suffering to render life of the soul more fruitful. Again, we see in sacred scripture, it says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. You are the branches. Every branch that beareth fruit, my Father will purge that it may bring forth more fruit. And this is my Father glorified, that you bring forth very much fruit. And so it's a way for us to understand that Almighty God, yes, He will purge us. Obviously, we think of purgatory as being a purging. The purgation that our soul has to undergo in order to be pleasing to God, in order to see God, that we must be purged of the sins, the temporal punishment that is due to them. And so that we understand, we know, okay, well, we have to, before we see Almighty God, we must be as perfect as we can. And so therefore, we will undergo this purging of the soul. But it's the same idea that St. Augustine had also said, that it's much better to spend our purgatory here on earth, to have to go undergo the purging of our sins, the temporal punishment that is due to them, to undergo it now. So therefore, then, we wouldn't have to undergo it in the next life, in purgatory. And so that is the same understanding that what our Lord is trying to bring out, saying that He is the vine, His Father is the husbandman, and we are the branches of that. We stem off of this vine, which is our Lord. And again, that is something that Don Marmion, he brings out, that Christ is the life of the soul. That He is what we must focus on for our soul, living the life of God, sanctifying grace for us. And then understanding, how do we lose sanctifying grace? Well, through mortal sin. And so therefore, then, we must try to purge ourselves from the things that will keep us away from God, whether it's creatures, whether it's things, whatever it may be. That we have to mortify oneself. But then God also mortifies our souls for us by sending us different crosses, different trials, different things that we will have to undergo, that He gives this to us. And it is, as Don Marmion brings out, it is because God loves us, that He is willing to ask us to share in the suffering and the passion of His Son. Because that we know from sacred scripture, that no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. We see no greater sacrifice of what our Lord gave than His love that He had for our souls, that He would be willing to give His life for us. And so that is what we try to contemplate at this time, and then how we understand that God will sometimes give us sufferings. He permits us to undergo these different trials, different temptations, different crosses, because of His love for us. And that He wants to lead us to life everlasting. So that is why we must try to encourage ourselves when the crosses and trials come, to bear them through the grace of God, to not be discouraged by them, not to allow them to disappoint us. But it is something that God is trying to call us higher to. Because we've looked at in these conferences so far of Christ being a model for us. He is the exemplar model to our souls. And so therefore, if we see Christ as a model, we see how much that our Lord suffered. And by His sufferings, it brought life to all of us. We just said in the Station of the Cross, thy death is our hope. It is the hope that we have of life everlasting. It is because of the death of our Lord and what He underwent for all of us. And so therefore, we see that our Lord is this model. This is the way that Jesus passed through. The more that we want to remain united to Him, the more we ought to resemble Him in the deepest and innermost of His mysteries. And that, we said, was the greatest mystery. In terms of that, is His passion, because it brought life to our soul. It brings life to our souls that we have, that are deadened by sin. And that's where we have to try to understand and to grasp during this time frame. We approach now the sacred Triduum, the sacred 3 days. Of all the more so do we contemplate, do we think about the passion of our Lord. And that is the focal point for us. And it needs to be then the focal point for our souls. And so that is what Dunmarmion is trying to bring out to us in understanding. That this, the passion that our Lord suffered, the passion that he underwent, it was in order to bring life to us. And that's why he then brings us back to the idea of suffering will lead us to life. The sufferings that we undergo will bring life to us. St. Paul is famous for Christ crucified. All in his epistles, you can see the doctrine of that. And how St. Paul will continue to say, I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. But also understand that God has a powerful hand. And his purifying operations, they reach the depths that only the saints know. The temptations that he permits, the adversities that he sends, these desolations that we undergo, the loneliness that sometimes that we feel. He sometimes produces these in the soul because he tries us. Tries to detach us then from things that will lead us away from him. And so that's why St. Francis de Sales, as I mentioned last night, to seek the God of consolations, not the consolations of God. To not to have our faith tied up into just these consolations. That if things are going well for us, well then therefore we'll serve God. But when adversity strikes, when things happen, well then we stop. We stop to serve God because it's become too hard. But that is why then the encouragement for us to try to continue on. The Marmion says, happy the soul that yields itself into the hands of the eternal husbandman. The one who is looking after these branches. The one that is pruning them, yes. Pruning them in order for them to bear more fruit. And so the interior sufferings that we have, they're a great part of God's very merciful plan for the sanctification of your soul. It sounds strange to us. It sounds strange to us sometimes because we think about the loving God, the merciful God that we have. And truly he is, but we also have to understand that sometimes his mercy is produced through the sufferings that he permits us to undergo. To the world, it sounds like a folly. And that's why Dunmarmion talks about that to them, it's like a stumbling block. The suffering is for the foolish. But we have to try to see that this is somehow how God brings it out, the sanctification of our soul, the purification of one's soul. We can try to purify ourselves by the sacrifices, by the penances that we do, the mortifications. But then also God will sometimes send them to us. As St. Paul has said, it is the will of God, your sanctification. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to get to heaven. And so therefore we have to understand that. We have to grasp that understanding of that. And yet, because of the sufferings that we undergo, sometimes we do feel forsaken by God. One, we just have to think of the words of our Lord on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that is a feeling that we have, that we are abandoned by God. God does not abandon us, but sometimes tries us in that way, that we feel that abandonment. And so these are the things to contemplate, of understanding that through the Christian life, yes, death will bring life into our souls. And so Dunmarmion continues and says that suffering purifies and frees the soul. In confession, the priest repeats these words to over the soul. He repeats these words to us. May whatever of good thou dost and evil thou bearest be to thee for the remission of thy sins, the increase of grace, and the reward of everlasting life. So this prayer gives to our sufferings, to our acts of satisfaction, of expiation, of mortification, it brings an efficacy to us. It produces some good fruit. If our prayers are efficacious, if our sacrifices are efficacious, it produces something in the soul. It produces something for us. And so truly then it is for the remission of our sins. And that is what is granted to our soul. And that is what the priest prays over the soul when they come to confession as part of the absolution. That he's asking for God to bless then the sufferings that you undergo, the good acts that you're able to do, that it brings about the remission of your sins. This total remission for our sins. And what a consoling thought for us. Because not only works of expiation, but then even all the sufferings inherent into our condition here below, it brings satisfaction with the Eternal Father for our sins. So not only then the things we do to try to atone for our sins, but then also the sufferings that we undergo, these sufferings can bring about then the remission of our sins. Again, if they are accepted well. If we accept these things that God sends to us. Because again, we looked last night in Dharmarmian saying that God only sends these things because he truly loves our soul. Sometimes it is difficult when the cross is upon us to grasp that, to understand that. But then it should try to help us then by the more that we think about it, the more that we think about our Lord's passion and his death, of how it becomes more reality to us. And so yes, these crosses and trials, they come from a love of God for the soul because they work for the destruction of self-love. To where we focus only on our own self. To the point that we neglect our obligation to Almighty God. That is the self-love that is a dangerous thing for us. That we permit that into our soul, well, yes, it will draw us away from God because we'll only be thinking of our own soul, our own self, in a selfish way. But then because of the crosses and trials that God sends to us, as we come out of these crosses and trials, we'll be dearer to the Sacred Heart. Because that, all we have to do is try to read about the Sacred Heart in the devotion to the Sacred Heart and the love that he demands from the soul. And it is one that, yes, is willing to accept the different crosses and trials that he will permit them to undergo. And so, yes, it is a purification of the soul that the sufferings we undergo. And then he continues in saying that the submission to God in these sufferings, it will be a source of peace. Again, we may find that difficult. Because when the crosses and trials come to us, there is that natural tendency for us to not want to have to deal with them. I mean, that is a part of our human nature, that we don't want these crosses and trials. But that is looking on it from just the natural viewpoint. When we do try to see them in a more supernatural light, that is where at least maybe we have an understanding of why. Why do we have to undergo them? And it will help us then to try to bear them, as I say. It doesn't make them easy. There can still be the difficulty in bearing the different crosses and trials. But at least it can help us to understand why. Why do we have them? Why do we have to undergo them? I mean, I think in a way, all we have to try to do is look at our own soul, our own sins, and understanding, okay, well, I have to repair for this in some way. If I don't repair for it now, I will have to repair for it in the next life. And so these are the things that we must try to see then for it to be a source of grace. So when we submit to all that God sends us, the fiat or the amen that we give to that, of all that he asks of us, he will then establish peace in our souls. And these you may have seen in some of the saints, of them accepting the different crosses and trials that they go. That then there is a sense of peace for them. Because they feel, okay, I am accepting God's will. I'm trying to do what God wants. It is still hard. It is hard to bear that. But then again, the graces of God will help us to bear these things. The graces that God sends to our souls, it is to bear the crosses and trials that we have, the difficulties that we undergo. And so that is where then the peace will be established for us. It is not a peace of this world, but it is a peace of Almighty God. Because it brings us a closer union to God. And that again, Don Marmion continues to bring back to us throughout all of his writings. But he tries to get us then to see and understand that is what we are trying to do for our soul is to bring about this union with Christ. And it will come through a lot of times the crosses and trials. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I mean, for us to try to repeat that, to try to understand that. That if we do live that life of accepting that, of realizing that our Lord is our light, He is our salvation, so what can we fear? And so, yes, it'll establish peace in the soul. A peace that we must try to have. I mean, obviously we know that peace is characteristic of Almighty God. Unrest, agitation, these are things that come from the devil to try to upset the peace of soul that we need to have. And so that is why we must try to establish this peace in the soul. Then he continues on and says the accepting of these things, they honor God, but they also draw down graces upon the soul and the church, the mystical body of Christ. Because remembering that doctrine that we understand, the mystical body of Christ, as we can say, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one gains grace, we all benefit from that. And that is the beauty of the mystical body of Christ, the beauty of the communion of saints. That it is through these things that we are helping each other. And so Don Marmion, he continues on and says, sufferings are the price and the sign of true divine favor. That the sufferings that we undergo, these difficulties that we have, it is a mark of divine favor. And why? Because then we go back to the understanding. He permitted his son to undergo all of this, and so therefore if he wants you to share in his passion and his sufferings, well then we also will sometimes have to deal with the crosses and trials. I mean, all we have to do is look back to the holy man Job in sacred scripture. The patience that he had with all the crosses and trials that he underwent. And it's remarkable to see that he was still willing to serve God. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all his animals, all his possessions. His friends thought he had sinned. So they were basically telling him, why don't you just think of your sin, be sorry for it, and be done with it. And his wife basically told him to curse God for what he has done to you. And Job's famous saying, God giveth, but God taketh away. All of these things are God's. So if he gives us good things, thanks be to God. If he takes away these things, again, thanks be to God. I mean, yes, that is a virtuous man saying that. And for all of us, sometimes it can be hard for us to say the same thing. But we have to try to grasp the things coming from divine providence. of understanding these things and seeing why God sometimes will take things away from us, or why he will also bless us with things. And so therefore, then, when we see the sufferings that we have endured, yes, it can be a sign of a special blessing from God that he has chosen this specifically for me. And I think that can help us sometimes to understand it is handpicked by God. And we certainly don't need to look for any crosses and trials. God will send them to us. So we certainly don't have to try to look for them. But then when they come, that accepting of them, that is what will try to then bring the blessings, the graces of God upon us. And so therefore, Dunmarmion then goes into trying to help us to see. He says that our Lord calls certain souls to a more intimate union with him, to share his sorrows and his sufferings for the glory of his Father and for the salvation of souls. And in some ways we can see the ones that God calls to being victim souls, souls that are asked to suffer for other souls to help them. I mean, certainly we don't need to ask for that. We shouldn't ask for that. And it's a grace that God gives to certain souls. So as I say, we don't have to ask for the crosses and trials. God will give them to us. When he deems that is necessary for us, when he deems that we're ready for it, then he will send them to us. But we see here very clearly that Dunmarmion brings out in saying that our Lord calls certain souls for that. He calls souls to this union. Because even though we see that God could save souls without having anyone to have to suffer or anything like that, God will draw souls then to try to imitate our Lord in a way. That he will ask them, yes, to maybe suffer for other souls, to suffer for the good of the church. That he's asking this grace for them to follow through on. But we can see that it is God's plan for the world's salvation, that it depends upon the expiation of sin. This taking away of sin. So in some ways, many men will neglect to supply their share of suffering accepted in union with our Lord. So we can say that in a way, the burden falls then upon other souls. Because yes, some people are unwilling then to accept their part. And so that is a missed opportunity of grace for that soul. And that is therefore why then our Lord will choose certain souls to be associated with him. We can say in the greater work of redemption. The souls are asked to suffer for this. So Dunmarmion, in some of his writings, as I mentioned, also some of this is a compilation of his spiritual letters, Union with God. And in writing to a nun, he tells her, he said, if the spouse of a crucified God is a victim, if you want to be a spouse of our Lord, then you have to realize you're going to be a victim too, that you will have to suffer. And that suffering will demand a lot. But he says, without that, your love will not be deep. In a way, he implies and hints to her that your love could otherwise be superficial, just on the surface. But because of the sufferings that you're asked to undergo, the courage and the strength that it requires from your soul, it will draw a deeper love from your soul, a deeper love to you. It'll bring that to your soul. And that's why he even reminds her. He says, do not ask for suffering, but yield yourself up to the wisdom and the love of your spouse, that he may operate in you in all that the interest of his glory demands. So he's telling her, you do not have to ask for the sufferings, just yield to it when it comes. Accept it. Accept it as it comes, and then you will see the graces that will come from that. That is why then his final words to her is just, be a soul that is willing to accept what God sends, a gracious soul, a generous soul to God. So our Lord explained this truth to St. Catherine of Siena, of how sometimes these sufferings, it extends to the entire church and the benefits that the church gains from that. He said, how sweet is this dwelling of the soul in me, sweeter than all sweetness, through perfect union with me. A union because of our sufferings and the crosses that we undergo. Again, it is just that fiat, that amen to God's will be done. For us to try to understand that and to grasp that. And that is where then the graces will be called down upon all souls. The willingness that we have, the desire that we have, then we accept what God sends us and we offer it for the good of souls, for our own soul, for the good of the church, for the good of our family. We can offer that to Almighty God in cooperating with that. So he says, how many graces can be implored, obtained from Christ because of that? And how many times, many souls, yes, they will not even think of it. They will turn their back to it. And so ultimately, that is how then a soul will bear life. Through its sufferings, through its crosses and trials. And so that is where then Dunmarmion, he talks about the man of sorrows. As I mentioned, this is one of his favorite titles for our Lord. Because of his contemplation of the passion of our Lord. He said, by looking at the passion of our Lord, looking at him on the cross, it should draw the soul closer to him. Because just as I mentioned, just as the saying, no greater love than a man have. And when he lays down his life for his friends, the ultimate sacrifice that our Lord gave. And that is where we must try to contemplate and think, how do we treat our Lord for that? How do we repay him for what he has done for us? I mean, do we repay him by trying to do our best, trying to win the graces of God? Or do we just, through our sins, cause all his sufferings all over again? And I think that is one of the things that Dunmarmion brings out so well in his writings. Of how we have to understand what part we play in the passion of our Lord. And why we need to repair for that. Repair for it through the sufferings, the trials that we undergo, through our acts of expiation, through our prayer life, trying to live a life that is pleasing to God, ultimately when it comes down to it. Do we love God enough that we're willing to live a good life? Or are we falling into self-love? We only think of ourselves. It's all we care about. I mean, granted, we may have that future thought of trying to save our soul, but we have no idea when God will call us. And so that is why then we must always try to spend our life in trying to be in the state of grace. never losing that state of grace. And if we have lost it, then we do something about it as soon as we can. And that is why we have these opportunities for confession, to make a good confession, to truly prepare your soul well for this sacred Triduum, these sacred 3 days. I'd mentioned to you that these past 2 weeks, last week, Passiontide, and then this week, Holy Week, these are the two most important weeks of the liturgical year because they prepare us for the greatest feast, which is Easter. Because St. Paul had said, if our Lord had not resurrected from the dead, our whole faith would be in vain. Everything that we're doing, it would be for nothing if he did not. But we know that he did. It is what we're planning on celebrating on Sunday. The resurrection of our Lord, because his death brought hope to us. And so that is what we must contemplate. That is what we must think about, especially these next 3 days. To think truly of what our Lord has done for us and then how we can cooperate in that. And by cooperating in that, that will bring life everlasting for us. And that is truly when we can see and say with St. Augustine, to die is to gain. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.